So last time that we had Brother Antoine here before he joined our church, it was mentioned that few of us haven't actually heard how God saved us. And it'd be good to have a time where we could do that. So praise God. First one with that idea is the first one who gets to give their testimony. Otherwise, I would just say that, you know, we could have as a church vote who we want to hear from next. Praise God. You know, so I was actually thinking, Sister Rachel, if you want to stay there, if you want to come up here and see, either way, we have a microphone for you. I was thinking it would be good to hear hers, and then tell me, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I would actually like to hear Brother Jake's testimony after that. What do y'all think? Amen. You okay with that, Brother Jake?
Yeah.
Amen.
When you do yours, just bring Chloe so you can have a distraction. So
okay.
So I'm pretty sure all y'all know my mom and dad. So no.
Too much of a distraction.
So you know that I grew up in a Christian home. My dad, I think, would be considered a first generation Christian. My grandma and grandpa, his parents, they did get saved when they started coming to church when I was probably almost in my 20s. So I don't know how that works as far as like the generations, but so dad didn't grow up in a Christian home and he grew up in like drugs, alcohol, doing all that stuff. So the fact that God pulled him out to be able to raise a Christian home, to be able to lift up a Christian home and be is just... especially being a parent now, it gives you a different perspective. Same for my mom. I think her parents were the ones that claimed Christianity and claimed salvation, but they were like the holiday churchgoers. But she was very faithful, and so she was definitely a rock in my faith, too. Stop. Thank you. I used to think that my testimony was not really one. Because I grew up in a Christian home, I was blessed to not have to go through the things of the world, to go through drugs and alcohol and, you know, just all the things that the world has to offer to us, you know, that seems like fun. And I used to think, no one wants to hear me. I didn't get saved out of something. I didn't get, you know, rescued out of something. And someone finally said to me, you actually have one of the best testimonies because God saved you from not having to go through it. And that put a different perspective on everything and just made me love God even more. So when I was actually 6 years old is when I got saved. Like I said, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church, so I heard about Christ before I was even born, while I was in my mother's womb, you know. And I remember... I came home from a birthday party when I was 6, and we had like a little plastic kid picnic table in the kitchen, no, in the living room, and I just felt like God was telling me that I need to pray and get saved, and I went in there, and I prayed, and I don't remember specifically what I said, but I knew that I was talking to God, and I was asking him to save me from my sin, and to come into my heart. Just a simple prayer, because that's all God requires is for us to understand, and you know, he doesn't need this elaborate stuff. He just knows that needs to know that we give him our heart. And then I went in the kitchen. Mom was doing the dishes, and I told her, and she said, "You did what?" Because she, you know, I think at least for me now, being a mom, I think you kind of want to be there when your kids do it, and then also you like don't know if they really understand what was going on. But I remember that. I know that the Lord changed me that day, and then it was shortly after that I also got baptized in our local church, and I try to follow the Lord. I can't say it's been like easy peasy. It definitely has not. You know, there's definitely still ups and downs. There's teenage rebellion that I'm not going to go into because I have children, but there's that kind of stuff. And I guess that's another way you can just say, you know, I don't know how the world gets through life without God. Because even the small things that I have done that don't seem like that horrible, even though they are in God's eyes, because they're still sin, I couldn't have got through them. Or the grief of like losing family. Like I had a cousin that committed suicide after he got out of the military, and I was just like, I'm so thankful I have God, and I wish he had God. And now it's too late. And so I'm just so thankful that we have, that I have God as my testimony and my parents to be able to raise me in a Christian home, and then I can raise these boogers, who's getting very tired, to be in a Christian home. And I hope that one day all our kids grow up to realize that mom and dad might be meanie heads sometimes, but it's just because we want them to come to the salvation, and what God has to offer is so much better than the world. I hope they see that. But anyways, that's not my testimony, but that's part of being a parent now, is that growing up in a Christian home was definitely a blessing to be able to serve the Lord and skip out on what the world had to offer me.
Amen. So. Amen. Praise God. I forgot to mention, you know, Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. So, contrary to how some might preach that, that doesn't mean that you come up here and say, so, you know. No, sadly, one of those charismatic preachers actually interpreted this verse to say that. Because it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, then you're just supposed to tell the devil, so. It's like, that's not what it means. It means tell others, speak it, you know, that the Lord has redeemed you. You know, and then Revelation chapter 12 in verse... I have this memorized, but on verse 11 it says, they overcame him, this is talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So in some sense, we do need to remind the devil of that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Overcome him in that way, because he is the accuser, right? He'll seek to accuse you, accuse the brethren day and night. And so... I mentioned, I was talking too much, I guess, after we ate, but I mentioned about some help on whatnot, tell your testimony. A while back, the little tool I put together just basically said, like, your life before you knew Christ, like, what it was like, how you met Christ, and then what has changed since then. And that, you know, probably, you go through that, you can write a really good testimony track, plus you can tell your testimony about 3 minutes or whatnot. The 15-second testimony, I think Brother Stallman just had us put one word, which was challenging, but he said just one word to describe your life before you came to Christ. One word to describe your life, what happened when you met Christ. One word to describe what happened since then. And so that was pretty challenging. Then put it into one sentence. One sentence, one sentence, one sentence. I will say, most of the time, people that may, and that's where you follow the Lord is when he wants you to tell your testimony or whatnot, but a lot of people that may have received a tract before and maybe never read it, I don't know if that was effective, but once I learned that, like, I actually came up to a fellow, instead of just giving him a tract, I said, sir, can I let you know that before I met Christ, I was just wicked and just vile. Yet when I met him, he rescued me, saved me, and now I'm full of joy, and I cannot wait to see him face to face one day. May I give you this so that you people take it, you know, a lot easier that way, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, your testimony could be a very powerful way. It's like people do really pay attention when it's not just... Sometimes when I've given tracts to people, I've said to them, this isn't from the ministerial industrial complex. I actually wrote this. Because sometimes I think people just think you're just a carbon copy Christian, you know, and you're just handing out this stuff because you're supposed to. But it's one thing when it's very, very personal. Brother Jake, come on up here. If you're okay with that. You can stay there too, just like I mentioned. But, yeah. And somebody's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's very powerful.
Amen. Yeah, brother. All right. Well, most of you have known me for a really long time now. I was also raised in church my whole life. My dad was also a first-generation Christian, had a really, really rough home life, and God saved him out of that, drugs, alcohol, just everything you can think of, just was a real wicked person. And I think a lot of times first-generation Christian parents can really struggle because they've never really seen how parents, you know, Christian parents raise their kids and stuff like that. But I'm very thankful for the fact that my dad saw the value in raising us kids in church and everything. And although he was not perfect, he did the best he could. My parents divorced when I was about 4 years old, and then they ended up getting back together. But around 6 years old, I think, is when I got I made a profession. I just remember hearing preaching, everybody saying, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. If you don't, you're gonna go to hell. And you know, nobody wants that. So I kept nagging my dad and saying, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And he would put it off, and he knew I wasn't ready. And there was one night we had a missionary come through. We were going to North Salem Baptist at the time, we had a missionary come through. And after the service, we went back to the house and I just told my dad I wanted to be saved, and at the time, I guess he thought I had a good understanding of it, but I knew not too long after that I didn't really fully know what that meant. I didn't know what it meant to be a sinner. I didn't know what the consequences of that were and how that separates us from God and everything that goes into salvation. I just didn't have a full understanding of it. So I got baptized, and just kind of for a few years after that, really trusted in that false profession. I have a lot of doubts, and just when preachers would preach, I was never fully sure that I was actually saved. But I would just go back to, well, yeah, I said a prayer when I was 6 years old, and I remember that night talking with my dad. And so, yeah, I'm saved. I don't need to worry about that. And then my parents got divorced again, and my dad was raising us basically as a single dad, and I just remember never really, just going to church was just kind of a motion that we did. You know, before my parents were divorced, they would fight on the way to church, fight on the way home, and that was kind of the environment that I got raised in, so I just never really saw the value in it. And I just never, even after making that profession, just never really clicked with me, it just seemed like we were going through the motions. So as I started getting older into my teenage years, I had a lot of rebellion never really had anything spiritual about me. Just would go through the motions, go through Sunday school. I'd learn the verses, and I felt like that was what I needed to do, was just, you know, play the part, be a part of the youth rallies. I was good at sword drills. I memorized all kinds of verses. I thought, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as a Christian, but it just never really felt real or clicked with me. And I remember probably when I was about 13, I think it was about 14, Mark Stevens, some of you guys probably remember him, it's Will's little brother. He had, I think he was playing basketball and fell and broke his leg or something, and it got infected. And as they were treating it, he ended up with the infection. It was MRSA. There was a couple times where they weren't sure if he was going to make it. I remember one day I was helping my stepmom, Jessica, clean an apartment out. She did some cleaning jobs and stuff, and we had gotten a text that Mark's condition had taken a turn for the worse, and that, if I remember right, that they were thinking that the MRSA might have made it into his bloodstream. So that they were just, I think Chris Kaiser sent out a message just saying we needed to urgently pray for Mark, and that they were going to have a prayer meeting after the Wednesday night service for him. A little bit later, we got a text saying that Brother Ted Alexander's bus broke down right by our church, and so he was going to be preaching for us that night. And it was kind of funny. God had been kind of working on my heart and showing me that I wasn't saved. And as soon as I heard that, it was almost like I knew that God caused his bus to break down, and that I knew I was probably going to have to be making a decision that night But we went to church, and I remember it was a Wednesday night in April, and Brother Alexander preached on presumptuous sin, and had really nothing to do about salvation, but it was just something that, as the Lord had already been dealing with me, I was convicted on that. And so that night I went forward, and I didn't tell anybody. I just I came up here and called on God and asked Him to save me and repented. And my plan was, I knew people already thought I was saved. I didn't want to tell anybody. I was embarrassed, and I was just like, you know, this will just be me and God's little secret. I'll just keep going on the way things are, and I'm not going to tell anybody. And we stayed late that night, had the prayer meeting for Mark, I remember, in Chris's office. And by the time I got home, I stayed late, and I think Brother Donnie took me home that night. And I walked in the house, and a few minutes later, I walked into my dad's room, and I just kind of blurted it out that I got saved tonight. And I was like, I didn't even mean to say that. It just kind of came out. And so my dad was like, wait, what? I think he was watching TV. He's like, you got saved? So I started having a conversation with him about it and got baptized. I remember Brother John DeKreider, my Sunday school teacher at the time, took me out for one of his famous things, if you've ever been in John's Sunday school class, was he liked to take you out for a Coke, which meant we were going to have a serious talk. So I knew if John pulled up to my house and said, hey, can Jake go out for a Coke, I knew it wasn't just going to be a fun conversation usually, because he would rebuke you during while you're sipping and enjoying your Coke. It had a little bit of a bitter aftertaste sometimes, but no, he took me out and we went to McDonald's and got a Coke and had some lunch together, and he just said, so what was different about your last profession and this one? And I said, well, this one's real, you know, I feel that the Holy Spirit's indwelling in me now, and you know, just my attitude just kind of changed instantly, and even my parents would talk about that. But yeah, and so since then, what God's done an even bigger, well, not a bigger work, but He's done a work in my life too that I'm very thankful for. After that, a lot of you know my family's history, just with what happened with my sister and stepmom and everything like that. I just kind of got bitter, and I've told many people since then that I had the attitude when I became about 15, 16 years old that as soon as I turned 18, I was going to be gone. I was going to go out and do my own thing in the world, just party it up and have fun with my friends. And, you know, I didn't make any room for God in my life. It was going to be all about me. And thankfully, God used Brother John DeKreider, my Sunday school teacher at the time, while at the time it wasn't well received, he did take me under his wing and just kind of speak the truth in love, as the Bible says. And later on down the road, I realized that what I was doing was for my parents, and I never really, while I was saved and I accepted Christ as my Savior, I never made a relationship with Him mine fully. You know, we were Baptist because that's what my parents said. We went to church because that's what my parents said. We're King James because that's what my parents said. You have to make it and understand it for yourself. Otherwise, as soon as you turn 18, you probably are going to fly the coop. That's one of the things I've been burden for with teenagers, is just, you know, a lot of our parents, when we're growing up, it's, you ask them a question, and parents get used to sometimes saying, well, because I said so, and, you know, when it comes to the important doctrinal questions and stuff like that, I didn't ever have a good grasp on that, but, no, Brother John just challenged me on some things, and later on down the road, I just realized that I was heading on the same tracks as the rest of my family. And I tried convincing myself that, oh, it's going to be different for me. I can live in the world. I can do my thing. And God's not going to judge me like He did them. Or I won't make the same big mistakes that they made. I'll do it differently. I had to repent of that attitude, that mindset, and just allow God to work in my life and realize that, you know, we don't do what we do because our parents or because the pastor says so. We do it because the Bible says so. And yeah, that's my testimony.